art, comedy, pop culture, and much more. You're listening to ACPN.
Good evening, America. Welcome to Adventure Club Podcast, a frank discussion about all things pop culture, comedy, entertainment stuff, you know, geek talk. I am John Galbo.
I'm Matt Nezlenik.
And I'm Guy Hutchinson. Oh, okay. Yeah. I felt like I was back on the show. I was ready to go.
Well, you are here. You are Guy Hutchinson.
You are back on the show.
Accomplished author, convention expert. And co-host emeritus.
Bard of our times.
I like that. Man of many hats.
Exactly.
I may change my Twitter profile to say that. I like that. Bard of all times.
Of our times.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not nearly as exciting.
Modern Shakespeare. One of the two, you know. Modern day Shakespeare works.
Modern Shakespeare, isn't that like a show on the WB? I don't think
the WB.
WB. One, I think you're thinking of Riverdale, and two, it's the CW.
Okay, I was close. Well, hello, gentlemen. I'm excited to talk to both of you.
Yes, thank you for filling in on the Jason spot.
Yeah, where's Jason? What's going on with Jason?
Jason is not allowed to podcast tonight.
Yeah, we didn't fire him. You know, Sirius didn't take over the show and fire him. Unlike what they did to poor Frank Connors.
R.I.P. Frank.
Yeah. But I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, who knows?
I was going to say, did you guys hear anything on that one?
No. Fuglesang was pretty, like, not descriptive about it. Like, he was walking the fine line, basically.
So what I've seen of Frank, he likes to, he doesn't have much of a filter when he feels passionately about something. So I'm wondering if he said something that pissed off the wrong people.
Well, I know they had Chris Christie on, and he was really, in recent months, he has been really reaming Chris Christie.
So they actually had him on there.
Yes.
Wow.
I don't think Frank was part of the actual interview.
Yeah. Well, you never know. I mean, I have met Frank quite a few times, and he's super nice, but he looks like when you see him, he's got like resting angry face. You know what I'm talking about? Mm. He is like the angriest looking guy, and you'll see him like, I've done a lot of cons with him, and like when he's not at his table, you'll see him like walking around looking at stuff, and he just looks like he's just the angriest principal from, you know, a high school in the middle of the country.
He just looks at you like you disappointed him somehow.
Yeah, but he's like super sweet and super nice. I really like him. You never know with these things, though. I'm always I'm baffled by these stories. You guys heard the Vic Mignogna story?
I did.
Yeah,
I did not. So, tell the story, Guy.
Well, I don't know. I don't know all the details, but from what I've seen, there's
too, isn't it?
There's some of that. There's some people have accused him of some things, and then there's been a handful of people that are saying things that, you know, he said at panels. Like, there were some allegations that were somewhat serious. Now, I don't know how corroborated they are, or, you know, I don't know. I don't know anything about them, but what happened was a lot of people started just piling on with like weird little nonsense accusations. Like, you know, people saying, oh, I told this off-color joke one time, you know, at a panel. And then there was like one of the things was that he at a panel, it was very noisy in the next room. And he said, what's going on in there? The Holocaust. And this was apparently at a panel in 2010. I mean, it's not a joke I'd make, but I mean, I feel like, you know, it's a joke he made, you know, who knows panels can get silly. And I mean, you're making a joke. I feel like there's not, you know, especially he made it 9 years ago. And then there was another one where there was an actor that had worked with him. And this guy said that he put his junk against the back of my head, and there's video of it. And the video is the guy was sitting on the stage and they were doing a panel, and it sounded like the crowd was real amped, and Vic climbed on his shoulders like a piggyback ride. And the guy stood up and kind of walked him around like a horse for a while. So the guy kind of played along with it. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I think you're reaching with how you're describing what happened.
And now
it sounds like it's more of like what happened to Al Franken. Oh, he groped some women.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe it's all true. I'm not, you know, I mean, that's the thing, you never know.
He didn't deny it, though. I did see he posted, like, a little statement about it saying he's going to seek, like, help of some kind.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's a real nice guy. I don't, I don't know, doesn't mean it's not true, but I hate to see that happen to people.
Yeah. But getting back to Jason. Jason is a nice guy, and we haven't, you know, he's taken the week off for Valentine's.
And the Me Too movement hasn't caught up to him yet.
For the Valentine's Day.
Wait, no.
What?
I hear you.
All right. So what's everyone drinking tonight?
Well, Guy, what are you drinking this evening?
I'm drinking an oversized margarita with salt on the rim, Jose Cuervo inside of it. It's got a pink tinge to it, and I can't remember why. And I've got a large umbrella in it, and it's in it's like a big glass, but it actually originally was a fishbowl, but Pokey died, and so I cleaned it out and took all the rocks out, and I'm using that. And so there I am.
Okay. Wow. Very good. Matt, what are you drinking?
I was going to say, I can't really follow that. I'm just drinking bourbon from Barrel Bourbon, which is a company that makes they get barrels from other places that have been sitting for, you know, quite a few years and sell it uncut. So this is a 112 proof bourbon. It's quite tasty, though. Mm.
I did try Knob Creek about a week ago. It was pretty good.
Ah.
Knob Creek's not bad. That's a really good bar bourbon.
Yes. That's a Kentucky bourbon. When we were in Kentucky for Supercon had their own barrel, and they had their own bottles of Knob Creek with their logo on them.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty cool.
Did you get one?
Oh, yo. Yeah. I got two of them. Oh. I finished one before I left Kentucky.
Ah.
On the way home?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, God.
John, what about you?
Tonight, I found the last bottle of Henry's Hard Orange Soda that I had left, made with cane sugar and contains alcohol, believe it or not.
Whoa.
Pretty good. It tastes like an orange soda.
Okay. Like, so I don't like a lot of those hard root beer, and because they kind of have like a chemically flavor to them.
They do, but the more you drink them, the more it tastes like a regular soda.
By your eighth one, it tastes just like a regular soda.
Right. Yeah.
More than I can say about that Dunkin' Donuts IPA.
Oh, that looks horrible.
I still have some. If you want, mail you one.
I appreciate it, but no thank you.
Well, I don't know about you, but I've done the thing where you, let's say you're drinking whatever it is, wine, bourbon, you have the good bottle and the lousy bottle, and the first few, you have the good bottle, and then later in the night, you pull out the lousy bottle, it tastes exactly the same. You know, your taste buds are all dead, your brain cells are going.
Mm-hmm. You just can't taste anymore.
Yeah, if it's wine after the second glass, it all tastes like grape juice.
This is true.
This is very true.
Although for Christmas, I forget where we got it. It must have been from someone like either during the Colleen shower or the wedding sometime. We got a bottle of Francis Coppola wine, and we cracked it for Christmas. It wasn't bad.
Yeah, I've had that. I'm a big fan of having wines that are in some way connected to a celebrity. I've had I had that at Disney. I was at the Golden Vineyards Disney California Adventure, and they had like a thing where you could order three different wines, and I was like, wait a minute. So there's a John Lasseter wine. There's a Francis Ford Coppola.
Oh, my God.
And there's a Fess Parker from Davy Crockett wine. I was like, well, I know which three I'm having.
So did the
John Lasseter one taste sleazy and
it just wanted to hug your mouth all the time.
Wow.
John Lasseter.
Yeah. Say, I've still yet to try. I want to try. Sam Neill owns
Two Paddocks. Yeah.
Does that make it to the States? I've never seen that in my area.
I don't know, but I see him on Twitter all the time with that.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll, like, I believe at least for a long time, his picture was him balancing a bottle on his head.
Well, he actually responded to me once. I tweeted, I'm like, what is that on your head? He's like, that's my wine, sir. You should try some. And I'm like, well, thanks, Sam. I can't find any.
He's great. He was in, the last movie I saw him in was Peter Rabbit. The one, like the CGI rabbit with the live
one.
Yeah, that one. And he's like an old man in it. He's playing like the old man in it. And it's a great part because he's really like, you don't recognize him. He's got like a big beard and it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
I saw him in last.
He had a funny cameo in the last Thor movie.
He was one of the three reenacting the scene, right?
Yeah, with Matt Damon.
Mm-hmm. So he was also in Peaky Blinders. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that show.
No, I've heard things about it, though.
Great show. So I guess he's an Irishman who lives in New Zealand, right?
Yeah, no, I don't know if he's Irish at all, but I know he lives in New Zealand. I assume he's Irish in at least... you know, historically, his family is, but I don't know if he was, you know, I don't know, but I know he lives in New Zealand.
So in Peaky Blinders, he had to have like a really harsh North Irish accent, and I couldn't understand a word he said. I had to turn on subtitles for his parts.
Oh, God, don't you hate when you have to do that?
Yes. And I'm like, I know I'm speaking English. He's speaking English, right? I think. Yeah. But great show. Great show, though.
Yeah, he was born. I'm looking here. He was born in Northern Ireland to his mother, who was English, and his father, who was from New Zealand. And then his family moved to New Zealand in 1954. So he's been in New Zealand for most of his life.
And that's where he has his vineyards, right?
I believe so. Yeah. No, I think that's exactly where it is. Yeah.
New Zealand's a great place. I've been there once. If you ever get a chance to go, go. And if you can get the State Department to pay for your trip, take it.
Wow. I don't think that'll happen, but all right.
You never know. I don't know. I was going to say, do a USO tour, guy.
That's right.
I don't know if they go to New Zealand.
USO SuperCon.
USO Con?
Yeah. No, yeah. That's the way to do it. I got to get, what do they speak there? They just speak English?
Yeah.
All right, I don't need a translator. I just need to get somebody to open up a bunch of websites and act like I'm a big star there. And
there
they'll
you
be
go.
Like, oh, we need that guy from the States. He's such a big deal.
Just tell him I'm all sure you know, Taika Waititi.
There
who
you
is
go.
That? Who's that?
The director of Thor Ragnarok.
So I wanted to ask you mentioned Thor Ragnarok. That was when you said the most recent Thor one. That's that one, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm thinking, I haven't watched that yet, but I saw like a still image from it, and it has the Hulk in so he's in that movie. So
yes.
The Hulk's like and one of the main characters in it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Because I saw the first Thor movie, and I didn't dislike it, but I thought it was kind of dull.
It wasn't really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first one's okay. To set things up, it's fine. The second one is not that great.
Not okay.
Third one is completely different. Like it turns a complete 180.
What's the second one called?
The
Dark World.
Yeah.
No, I don't even know. I don't know which one I saw, first or second one, but I saw one that I think Winona Ryder was in.
Natalie Portman was in it.
Natalie Portman. Portman.
Same
enough.
Person.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Which one was that? The first one or the second?
First
one?
And second.
The both first of them. Two.
I remember they were like in a small town in like the old West.
That was the first.
Okay. And I thought it was kind of dull. I wasn't crazy about it. I will have to watch this other one. I've been looking for something to watch.
So basically, they just completely changed the tone of the movie. They got Taika Waititi to do it. And he's the guy who did What We Do in the Shadows. Is that the movie?
Yes. He and also it's did, just, with Sam Neill, he did that one, Hunt for the Wilder People, I think it's called.
He's just a goofy, funny guy, and it really worked for the Thor movie. Mm. So,
Did you see Guardians of the Galaxy?
I did. I saw both of them.
All right. So it's kind of more on par with that because they're trying to introduce the, like, the galaxy kind of stuff.
All right.
But funnier, I thought. Just, I don't know. He did some great stuff with Thor Ragnarok. Oh, great.
I'll have to check it out. I'm excited to see it then. That's good. Yeah, I thought the first one was, it kind of felt too serious for me. I'm not a fan of superhero movies when they get too serious because I kind of, I don't know. I'm just like, guys, come on. What are you doing here? Why? I mean, it's like a guy in a tuxedo, you know, rapping or something. It just feels off. It's like, you know, you should be having a good time with this. You're doing a movie about superheroes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Should be fun.
You guys wearing tights. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Speaking of, have either of you seen Aquaman yet?
No.
I still have not.
It was better than, like, taking it back to Frank and Trace, who do the Movie Sign with the Mads podcast. They just saw Aquaman and they hated it and they reamed it really bad.
I haven't listened to that one yet.
But, you know, we went in with low expectations, and it was actually better than we thought it would be.
Well, would you put it on, like, better than Dawn of Justice?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Better than Batman versus Superman?
Yeah, better than Batman versus Superman. Probably better.
Better than Wonder Woman?
No.
Okay. So I kind of have a scale now where you're slotted that.
It's kind of, for me, I think it's kind of in between like Wonder Woman and Suicide Squad.
All right, I haven't watched Suicide Squad. I didn't like Wonder Woman. I just thought it dragged. I don't know why. I don't know if I was not in the right frame of mind for it or whatever, but I just kept thinking, man, when is this movie going to get going? It felt like 5 hours long. But I like Justice League. I enjoyed. I mean, I think it all also comes down to, like, you know, the circumstances of when you watch it, whether you're going to enjoy something. I mean, you know, it could have been that I was watching it. It was late at night. I was, you know, maybe a little tired and, you know, it just didn't grab me. But I remember just kind of like towards the end being like, are we almost done? What time is it? Are we finished yet? But I heard everybody loved it. But like Justice League, I thought was a whole lot of fun. I mean, I liked the Flash. I thought he was funny. And I really liked Batman versus Superman. I know everybody didn't like that.
It wasn't like scorched earth. What people were complaining, oh, this is the worst movie.
But here's a good reason why, though. So when I watched Wonder Woman, I watched them both at home. But when I watched Wonder Woman, I remember I sat down at a specific time and I was like, oh, I'm going to watch Wonder Woman. I just got it. I'm going to, you know, put it on right now. I'm going to watch the whole movie in one sitting. And when I saw Batman versus Superman, I had heard it was so terrible. I had gotten it and had it for like a week before I watched it. And I watched it just sitting on the couch on like a Sunday afternoon. And so my expectations were much lower, and so I guess that, you know, kind of plays into it was easier to achieve beyond that. But I had fun watching it. I thought, and I love Ben Affleck.
I thought he was a good Bruce Wayne.
He wasn't bad.
He was an all right Batman.
Did you guys see The Accountant?
No. Oh, that was where he was so like good. An autistic accountant assassin, right?
Yes, it is so great.
I remember hearing about that one. I just never got to see it.
It's the best superhero movie I've ever
Basically,
seen.
Basically, he's Batman without the cape and cowl, right?
I mean, there's a scene in this movie where there's a truck racing away from him, and he runs up, catches it, jumps on the back of it, kicks the back window out, and pulls a man who's larger than that window out of the window, throws him over the truck, pulls his gun out of his pocket, and then has a fight with him where the guy has a knife and Ben Affleck uses his belt. And it's great. It's just,
it's like Born disbelief movies.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a, there's, yeah, all, I mean, that's any action movie, though. There's always...
This is true, but there's more... Somebody, there's some that are just, like, the like blatantly...
Yeah.
Like tongue-in-cheek, like, what's
any recent Liam Neeson movie?
Right, I want to see that one. That what's
the,
that called?
The snowplow one? The
snow, yeah. Mr. Plow.
Mr. Plow.
That was name that, again.
Was that is my Mr. commercial? Plow. I don't know.
Oh, gosh.
Was it a Cold Pursuit or something like that?
I think so.
I want to see that, though. The commercial is just, it, it's just that Don't Fear the Reaper with, like, all the cowbell. I love that. And he's just like, he's like, my son did not do drugs. Let me kill everybody. And he just goes around.
I'm a 70-year-old snowplow driver who can take out, I guess it's the mafia or something.
I just love, I watched Taken 2. I haven't seen Taken 3 yet. Or maybe I saw Taken 3 and I hadn't seen Taken 2. But I saw Maggie get taken for the second time. And it's just so great. He's like, oh, God, they took her again. All right, here's what we're going to do. Set off a bomb. And then he's like, okay, that bomb says you're about 2 meters away. It's just so great. It's just so absurd. There's somebody pointed a trope out to me recently, you know, a movie trope, something that happens in a lot of movies, but where two people, you know, like maybe a cop and a bad guy, they're like point blank and they shoot at each other and they miss because of plot, like because literally they can't hit each other. And now I notice that in every movie. And I used to just completely brush it off. Like, well, obviously they're not going to shoot each other. We got 45 more minutes left. We can't have the rest of the movie them recovering. You know, we can't have a funeral at this point.
Two long funeral scenes, basically.
Yeah. So obviously they've got to miss. I will give movies, depending on the type of movie, I'll give a lot of leeway. And I don't know about you guys, but I am not, when I am watching a movie for fun, I am so bad at predicting what's going to happen because I don't try at all. Like, no part of my brain, subconsciously or consciously, ever puts anything together. So like when something's revealed, I'm like, get out of town. I was like, that was a good twist. And then I'll listen to like other people and read reviews and they're like, the obvious twist that any idiot would have seen coming. And I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. Let's see that coming. Well,
I figure that's kind of the mark of a movie that's a good escapism. You know, if it can help you forget that you're being critical of it or figuring out what's wrong with
it. And that's kind of what Frank and Trace and Carolina were talking about on Aquaman. We're like, oh, this was stupid, that was stupid. I'm like, I just watched the movie. It was fine. You know?
Yeah, I mean, all my friends who did see it, they said, you know, expectations were beaten because the expectations were, as you said, really, really low.
Mm. Well, because it's a DC movie, and thus far, before Aquaman was even released, the only thing we had to go on was Wonder Woman. And people were like, well, it's on par with Wonder Woman, it's pretty good, and then some people said, no, it kind of isn't, and then
we're still not going to have Wonder Woman 2 for another year. Ugh.
Yeah, that's a shame.
My nephew said to me, he goes, was this guy a wrestler? And I said, no, he wasn't.
He
He's
does
like, really?
Look like a
He's
wrestler.
Like, why not? And I was
it's
like,
Roman Reigns.
You know, I really don't
really
know
is.
Why. I saw Jason Momoa. We were at SuperCon 2015, and I think it was just before he became a giant star, but he was on what? The Walking Dead, right?
No, Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones? Yeah. Okay, so he was on whatever he was on. Yeah, so he was on that show, which I've never seen either, so I know they're very different. But but he was on TV, he was a big star, and he came out, and he didn't have shoes on, but he had like a biker outfit with like leather pants and no shoes, like barefoot, on stage, like drinking a beer, and he looked like the fake Diesel from WWE in the 90s.
Oh my God.
And I just looked at him, and I was like, wow, this is something. I mean, I had no idea who he was. And I was just like, I am awestruck of this man for a billion reasons. Not just that he's muscular. It's just like, he looked like not only a star, but he did look like a wrestler from the mid 80s. He looked like, you know, he was going to be body slamming King Kong Bundy at some point. I was just like, this is awesome.
I don't know. Like I've never been a fan of his personally, but it's another story.
He's kind of a douche.
He's a real douche at cons sometimes.
I don't know about cons, but I heard the story about how Amber Heard, the co-star in Aquaman, was like trying to read books and he kept ripping the pages out.
Yeah, because she wasn't paying attention to him or something like that.
Yeah.
What other movies has he done?
So he ruined Conan.
He ruined Conan the Barbarian.
I didn't see that.
He was in, what was the Book of Eli?
Yeah.
He was in that one? I don't remember.
Yeah. He was one of the street gangs that tried to mug Denzel.
That was a good movie. Right.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Kind of enjoyable out of nowhere movie.
I have an idea. This is just changing gears here, but I have an idea for an app that I think is so great. I don't know about you guys, but whenever I watch a movie, right, whatever it is, an old movie, a new movie, like this past weekend, I watched a movie that I want to talk to you guys about. I'll say it now so we can get ready for it. But Teen Wolf, I want to talk to you guys about Teen Wolf,
the original.
Whenever I watch a movie, the first thing I do is I start checking. I listen to a lot of like podcasts where they watch retro movies and some where they watch new movies. And I just start looking for podcasts where they talk about it because a lot of times I'm watching the movie by myself and you kind of want to talk to somebody about it, but you don't want to walk up to somebody and be like, hey, did you ever see Teen Wolf? And they're like, yeah, like 8 years ago, you know, or 20 years ago. And you're like, yeah, what about that part? I don't remember that part. You know, I mean, it's like you can't have a conversation. Mm-hmm. So, but I would look and I'd find podcasts. I'd be like, oh, you know, that podcast did a review. Let me listen to it. And they'll talk about things that I'll be like, yeah, I thought the same thing. Or, oh, I didn't notice that. Or, oh, I'm surprised they felt differently. But I would love to have a search engine, like an app where it's a search engine for all movies, like almost like an IMDb, where like right now, because we're talking about Aquaman, that somebody could link this under Aquaman. And if they were like, oh, if I want to listen to Aquaman, oh, at, you know, 16 minutes into this episode of Adventure Club, they talk about Aquaman. You know, I just feel like I would love to have that. I don't know how to do it, but I would love to have it. And I can't find a really good search engine I found a search engine online that sort of does this, but not well, that does, you know, will search the titles and descriptions of podcasts. And they're, you know, like the entirety of a podcast, it'll search all the search engines will search for. But to say, hey, is there an episode where they talk about Aquaman is much harder to find. And yeah. I feel like I would love it. And I feel like it would also be kind of a good thing for podcasts, because there's a lot of times where, you know, like I'll listen to a podcast because they did an episode about a movie I watched. And then I'm like, I kind of like these guys. I'll check out, you know, some more that they've done, you know.
That would be cool. I mean, I'm sure someone can develop it.
Somebody should do it. You have my permission. Do it.
What I was going to say was I try and be as detailed as I can in the descriptions, but I'm like,
yeah, but I don't think search engines find it, but I don't think there's a real good like podcast search engine. You know, like you could go into Google and find the description, but it would be amongst a billion other things that weren't podcasts, you know?
Yeah. I can tell you most of the searches come up under your old Adventure Club Extra Buncho Junk stuff.
Like, isn't that weird?
It's like someone clicked on the link for Dr. Francois Clemens. And someone clicked on the link for, what's her name? The big comfy couch lady.
Allison Court.
It's like people click on those links. I'm like, I don't know where they're getting these links from. But okay, there's nothing there.
I miss Allison. Allison, I used to talk to her a lot on Twitter, and then she made her account private and unfriended me, which she may have also I don't take it personally, because for all I know, because her account's private, she may have unfriended like everybody. You know, I mean, she could have like five friends on there for all I know. But
she
now
just
I
singled
have
out
no,
Guy Hutchinson.
It could have been. She's like, that's what I need less of in my life.
Getting too many hits from that ACPN website.
I'll tell you a quick story about her. So she was on the big comfy couch. She's also acted in other things. She and her husband were involved in something to do with what is the video game movie series with Famke Janssen? What's is it Famke or?
Funky.
Yeah, what is it? Resident Evil. She had something to do with the Resident Evil games. Like she did voices for them or something. But she was She's an actress and she lives in Canada, and I interviewed her, and we had a you know, wonderful, you know, a podcast interview. And then afterwards I got followed by a couple like kind of odd guys, you know, who were just kind of weird and just seemed really into her. And then one of them a couple months later posted and tagged me on this, that he had framed a poster that he had made with all of the tweets and replies that she had made to him. Like she had made like a poster of all of her tweet replies. And like I was on there too. He was like, and thanks to Guy Hutchinson for, you know, for
that
letting me know.
Kind of stalkerish.
I was like, oh, that feels just weird. I don't know. I once for a long time on my desk at work, I had Ruth Buzzy, the comedian. She follows me on Twitter. And the day she did, I screenshotted that and printed it out and put it in a frame and put it on my desk. Cause I was just like, that is just the craziest thing. If I went back in time and told myself as a child, I wouldn't know what Twitter was and take a really long time to explain it. But I probably would be impressed that Ruth Buzzy would follow me.
Yes.
Nice. So what did you do to get her to follow you?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember. And she may follow. For all I know, she may have unfollowed me.
Following 2.8 million other people.
She may very well. Let's see. But I love Ruth Buzzy. Her tweets are very funny. Let's see here. She is following me and 6,294 other people. But she's followed by 68,000 people.
Hmm. Okay, so that's actually pretty good. Yeah.
I love her. She seems to be just having the best time. You know, like
thinking, I love when like these like E and F list celebrities, like I'll give you one example. The Tay Zonde, the Chocolate Rain kid. Guy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He followed me out of the blue. And then all of a sudden my friend goes, oh my God, the Chocolate Rain guy is following me. I'm like, I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
He's following
you. You're not
everyone.
The only one he's following.
Yeah.
Well, it's weird. I got a couple of random times. Follows. So I had an Instagram account just for my cat Knuckles. May she rest in peace. And there was like two of the Hispanic actors from Breaking Bad. One of them was like one of the evil twin dudes.
Uh-huh.
You remember them? And then another guy was they just started following Knuckles the cat Instagram. It was just
so great.
Okay. I appreciate that you guys like cats as much as I do.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all that stuff it's real fun. I mean, and anytime that I've had, like, when Mr. T liked one of my tweets, he was mentioned in it, but when he liked it, I don't know whether Mr. T has like an assistant who liked it or not, but I love picturing, especially when it's somebody like Mr. T, I don't know that his assistant would do that. Like, I feel like he probably does his own Twitter. Maybe he doesn't. But I just love thinking that, you know, this hand with a lot of gold rings on it and gold bracelets.
I like that tweet,
hit
fool.
The heart button.
See, that's the thing. Like, social media can be fun if you don't take it seriously.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, one of my favorite moments was one morning I was up to go work out and The Rock posted something, so I put a reply on Twitter, and he actually responded to me. And I said something back, and he responded again. And I'm like, is this really The Rock, or is this his PR person?
Mm. But either way,
we were talking about Olympic lifting and something else. And
50-50 chance. I mean, we know for a fact Iron Sheik is not tweeting.
No, yeah.
Like, I think the guy who hosted said, like, he'll say something to Iron Sheik, and the Iron Sheik will respond, and then he'll post it.
Right. I love all that stuff, though. I think that stuff is really neat. I've thought about doing a book of just the last tweets of dead celebrities.
Oh, geez.
Because I think it's so interesting. Like, I think it'd be an interesting tribute, because I read Dusty Rhodes' last tweet, and I'll read it to you guys because it's a good one. Dusty Rhodes, famous professional wrestler. Also, by the way, there is a different Dusty Rhodes who was a famous baseball player who Dusty took his name from. So for those that are baseball fans, that's why he has the same name. But Dusty Rhodes, famous professional wrestler, passed away in 2015. And his last tweet was, to Bobby, no, not Bobby Roode, to Robbie Brookside, and it said, okay, he has not been to Texas Hill Cafe, chicken fried steak. Now, I love the typo. And I looked up the Texas Hill Cafe, which closed down like a couple years after he passed away, sadly. So you can't even go there and have that chicken fried steak. but and then, like, if you look down like two tweets below that, it's "I'll talk like I want, asswipe" is a tweet to a guy named Grammar. And I like that. I like that Dusty Rhodes, like, that was one of his final tweets. And so I feel like it would be interesting to compile these, just have them cover.
I was going to say, did
I want, if you will.
Like,
did Chris,
here's
did Chris Benoit have a Twitter account?
No, he was, that was before
Twitter didn't exist before. That
who's somebody that died? Let's tell me a dead celebrity.
Mean Gene Okerlund.
He might have had one. Mean he might have had a Twitter. I like.
I would imagine he did.
Well, here's one. Let's see. It's not Mean Gene hasn't tweeted. He had 100 followers.
You say Paul Bearer?
Yeah, I don't think he tweeted, but he did post stuff online.
Let's think of someone. Leonard Nimoy.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Did he have Twitter?
He had Twitter, I remember.
How do you spell that? Here it is. Here it is. All right. Okay. Leonard Nimoy. This will be a good one. So we'll see Leonard Nimoy's final tweet. Let's see here. Oh, this is fantastic. Leonard Nimoy's final tweet from February 23rd, 2015. "Life is like a garden. Perfect moments can be had, but not preserved, except in memory." That's a pretty good last tweet.
All right.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's actually not bad.
I mean, like, let's see what my last tweet would be if I pass away on this call.
Oh, God.
Let's see what it would be. It's probably me shilling or something. No, my last tweet would be me posting.
Buy my book.
The D.W. Griffith film, the first one, first movie to feature a dinosaur, called Brute Force, 1914. That would be my final tweet. And a correction I made to Michael Eisner about a picture he posted. That would be my actual last. But that's a reply. That would be my last reply. Would be correcting Michael Eisner. And he hasn't liked it. The History Channel has liked that tweet because I guess they like things being corrected, you know. They like things being right. But yeah, Brute Force. I watched this earlier today. It's the first movie that had a dinosaur in it.
Huh.
Pretty good little puppet. It's not bad, you know, all things considered.
Kind of reminds me a little bit of
1947, right?
No, 1914.
Oh, 1914. Okay. Yeah. There's a brute force in 1947.
What is that thing? Godzilla versus Bambi.
Yeah. No, you're looking at Gertie the Dinosaur, I think.
Oh, yes.
That's a cartoon. Yeah, no. We can talk about both of them, but Brute Force is a live action film, and it's about these cavemen, and they're attacked by a bunch of different animals. They're worried about being attacked by them, and so they're like, "Oh, we should make clubs. This is all silent, so it's all written." And there's a dinosaur puppet that is about to attack them. Now, what you're referring to was released later that year, which is the second dinosaur on film, which is Gertie the Dinosaur. Now, I love Gertie the Dinosaur. If you go to Disney Hollywood Studios, to this day, there is a outdoor counter service restaurant that's a giant dinosaur, and it's called Dino Gertie's Ice Cream. And that is based on Gertie the Dinosaur, the original, one of the very first animated stars. And the crazy story about this, there was a guy named Winsor McKay who was an animator, and you mentioned it looked like Bambi vs. Godzilla. Bambi vs. Godzilla is a much, much, much later animated cartoon, but it was just like pencil drawings animated. You know, it was very simple. This was very simple because it was so early in, I mean, like Snow White didn't come out for another decade and a half, and that was so advanced when that came out that, you know, at this point, everything was, you know, this was a very early animated film, 1914. And so what he did was he animated, and it was just just lines, you know, like black lines on a white background. And it was a dinosaur. And the way he would do it is he would go to the theater. So like you would go to the theater to see Gertie the dinosaur, and Winsor McKay would be there on stage, and he'd say, "I'm going to present to you my star, Gertie the dinosaur." And the animation would go behind him, and he would talk to it. He had all these bits set up where he would say, "Gertie, lift your leg," and then the cartoon would lift its legs. And Gertie, you know, eat a rock, and she would eat a rock because I guess people thought dinosaurs ate rocks at the time. We didn't know a lot about them. People apparently were amazed. So you talk about how simple it looks, but people were amazed by the animation. And I like to think people ran screaming from the theater into the streets.
It's like, oh, God. It was so foreign to them.
The dinosaurs are back.
So what I want to know is who won, Godzilla or Bambi?
Oh, Godzilla.
I mean, yeah, I was going to say you should just see it. It's so incredibly short.
It's YouTube. It's on YouTube.
I'll see if I can find that. Yeah.
Bambi versus Godzilla. I bought the first time I saw it, somebody had mentioned it to me, and I was like, oh, I want to see this. 1969. It's a minute and a half long. It's on
there YouTube. It is.
Fine, yeah.
I on think YouTube. It was on the VHS for like Godzilla 1988.
Oh, God, he just steps on him.
Yeah.
That's it.
And that's and the so it's got long opening credits, then he steps on them, then it's long closing credits. I bought it on a VHS tape, and it was like called, and I paid, I don't think I paid a lot, but I think I paid like $10. I had to order it. This was when you would go to the video store and you'd say, "Hey, I'd like to have this movie," and they look it up in a book, and they'd be like, if they'd fill out a paper, they'd write A3207 Bambi versus Godzilla, and they'd ship it off to like MA Video in California, and they'd ship you back a copy, and then they'd call you and say, "Hey, this is Suncoast Video. Your VHS tape is in," and you'd go to the store and you'd pick it up. And it was called Bambi vs. Godzilla or Bambi Meets Godzilla and Other Weird Cartoons. And I found out very quickly after watching and realizing, oh, okay, so this thing is a minute and a half. I hope these.
Kind of reminds me of a Monty Python thing.
How much did you pay for it?
I think I paid like $10. I was not disappointed. I must say, I thought I was pretty happy with it. I the gag hit me. It was very funny. I didn't, you know, like now anybody listening to us, they already know the gimmick. And like even you, like you didn't even watch it, right? You just saw the thumbnail.
Yeah.
Right. And so that spoils it. The thumbnail spoils it. But and you see that it's a minute and a half, you know. But for me, it was perfect. It was like a great trolling thing where I put in a videotape. I knew the videotape was like an hour long. I didn't know if this was going to be a half hour. You know, I didn't know how much of the tape was going to be this. I sat down. I was getting ready, and then Bambi gets stepped on, and then the credits roll, and I was like, oh, it's hysterical. You know, it made me laugh, and, you know. So, and then I remember there was just a bunch of old, which I enjoyed, but a bunch of old cartoons like Bosco and
oh wow!
Feels cat and stuff, yeah.
The stuff, the it's not free, filler, but it's like
public domain. Mm-hmm.
So who? Yeah, I was gonna say
online on like Pluto TV, like the free stuff.
Yep. Who put that out? Who did you send Rhino money to for that? Oh, Rhino.
Yep. Oh wow!
Yep.
The precursor to Shout Factory.
Yeah, I was gonna. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I know Rhino. That. Oh yeah, that's right. They did the MST3K early releases, right?
True. Yeah, I loved Rhino. I knew Rhino wouldn't steer me wrong. The I was so pleased that I didn't know the gimmick. I was so pleased that I was able to enjoy it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I still just watched that clip, and it's a minute of credits, Bambi just sitting there, and then flat, and then 30 seconds of ending.
And it's like Marv Newland, I think, is the guy who made it. And it's like written by Marv Newland, directed by Marv Newland. And so like sketched the gag is, yeah.
That's awesome. Hey. That is very Monty Python-esque.
It really is. Sidebar, Godzilla 88, where I saw it on VHS, is basically basically the same movie as the original.
Wait a minute. Okay. What are you talking about?
The movie, Godzilla.
Oh, but are you talking about the movie or the Bambi versus Godzilla?
No, the movie.
Yeah, and it was basically what, same as the first one?
Yeah, it's the original with the original Japanese stuff, and then they just added in Raymond Burr.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but no, that's not Godzilla 85. So Godzilla, the original Godzilla.
No, okay, no, I'm sorry. It the Japanese version didn't have Raymond Burr.
That, on either of them. So the first film, Gojira, King of the Monsters, you know, which came to this country as Godzilla, that film, as well as The Return of Godzilla, which was released in this country as Godzilla 1985, both of those films, when they were made in Japan, 30 years apart or whatever, neither of them had Raymond Burr, and both of them added Raymond Burr for the U.S. versions.
Right.
Huh.
I do know that.
Yeah, you actually now can get Return of Godzilla on DVD, so it's, you know, and I'm probably digital as well.
With or without Raymond Burr?
Both. I think only without him, actually, but I know you could get it on VHS. I have both versions of it, but for a long time, the only one you could get was the out-of-print VHS with Raymond Burr. The other one, you had to get like a weird bootleg in Chinatown, which I did get. But
nothing wrong with that.
It's a significantly different movie.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you know, they really did a lot of editing on it. And you know what Raymond Burr's name was in the in it? Do you know? Mm-hmm. Don't look it up.
I should know this.
And yeah. I'm so. Let me see if you can guess it. So Raymond Burr's character name in the first one, his character name, they said the name exactly, you know, they would say both names, first name and last name. And when it came out in the 50s, it was fine. But by the 70s and 80s, this was the name of a very famous movie star. In the later version, I believe they only refer to him as Steve. Which should lead you towards it, and so they never refer to him as both names. But in the first one, do you want to guess who it was? I'll give you any clues. We can do like 20 questions.
Steve McQueen.
It is not Steve McQueen.
Is it Steve Reeves?
It is not Steve Reeves. Do you want to ask a question? I know we can narrow it down. Like what type of celebrity it was, or.
Okay, what type of celebrity is it?
No. You,
damn it.
You're supposed to ask, like, is it a, you know, a comedian? Is, you know, and then I would answer.
Oh, I get the game. I'm just lazy. okay, what was the celebrity on TV or in movies?
He was both, but well, he was shit. Very famous on television.
That didn't help much. Okay, John, your question?
Was he a singer?
He did sing a song rather famously, but no, he was not mostly known as a singer. He was known for other things.
Well, shit.
I really want to pick up my phone.
Yeah, I do too.
Couple more guesses and then I'll just give it to you. I
keep thinking Steve Rogers, but I know that's a fictional character.
No, it is not Steve Rogers. It's a good one, though, because it's like a name that's so simple that you're like, yeah, I can see why that would just be a generic name that a screenwriter would throw in.
It's Steve Williams.
Nope.
Steve Smith?
No, it is Steve Martin.
Oh.
And so it was very amusing when they'd be like, call Steve Martin. Steve Martin says Godzilla will be dead by now.
Excuse me.
Steve Martin currently has an arrow through his head. Wait.
He hates those cans.
That's so funny.
I never knew that. That's pretty awesome.
So if you go to Gojipedia, which is like the Godzilla Wikipedia, God. Steve Martin was an American journalist who in the 50s worked as a foreign correspondent for United World News. He witnessed firsthand Godzilla's 1954 rampage in Tokyo, and by his own testimony, he was the only American to survive it. And then it has his whole character history, and then they talk about him returning in Godzilla Returns. Trivia, in Godzilla 1985, Steve Martin is referred to as Steve and Mr. Martin to avoid confusion with the actor-comedian Steve Martin, who was popular at the time of the movie's release.
That's funny. Yep, there is Raymond Burr, Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you know what Michael Keaton's real name is?
Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas.
I have heard that one before. Yes.
I'm trying to think of some other ones. I know Steve Austin's real name is Steve Williams, who was also another very famous professional wrestler.
Right.
Who
Don't weirdly, call Steve Williams.
No, but there was a wrestler named Steve Williams, and he was a really great wrestler, and he was really close friends with JR, and so was Stone Cold. And Stone Cold, like, the two of them were like his two best friends. And so his two best friends were both named Steve Williams.
Huh.
How weird is that?
Side note, I've been considering going to Dragon Con this year as Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, you can pull it off. I like that.
You know, get the jorts, the knee braces, which I have.
Yeah.
And like the leather vest with no shirt on.
The orthopedic tuxedo, as Jerry Lawler called them.
Walk around saying, what?
What?
What? What? What? Yeah. And have a friend throw me some beers from across the room.
That's right.
I feel like there's some Steve Weisers.
Oh, God.
That'd be awesome. Could work for Dragon Con.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But yeah, I never knew that.
Well,
You have a new book out, don't you?
I do.
Tell us about the book. Buy the book.
Yeah.
I do. I have a brand new book. It is my first published novel. It was published by Theme Park Press. And they put out a ton of books, including Jim Corcus's books. And I know John and I have talked to Jim, his books. I mean, if you're going to buy one book, you can buy his book. But if you're going to buy two books, you should buy mine as well.
Yes.
But it is a very funny book. I am very pleased with it. It is a novel about two slacker ghosts who are stuck on Earth, and they seem to be confined only to Walt Disney World in the early 1990s. And they are trying as hard as they can to not find a way out because they like so much just hanging around at Walt Disney World.
So it doesn't actually sound too bad. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. When I wrote it, I had written the story taking place in New York City, and there was a big climax at the Statue of Liberty, and I wanted to change it and make it about Disney. And I thought, you know, I should take this story, and, you know, I know a lot of people have wanted me to write something about Disney, and I always liked this story. Maybe I can update it. So I went through and completely rewrote the whole thing from beginning to end. But as I was writing it, I kept coming across things like, I was like, well, I guess they'd use their phone and they'd go to the Disney app here. And then I was like, well, that's lame. And then I was like, they'd get their magic band and that's lame. And I was like, you know, everything felt lame because I felt like, well, this will be dated in 6 months. You know, if I'm talking about rides that are open today, 6 months from now, some of them will change and everything. And so I started saying, well, when would be the best time? Like, as a Disney fan, what's the time period that I'd like to go back to? And so I was looking and I was like, you know, like the early 1990s, when Disney MGM Studios was first expanding. They opened in the late 80s, but they expanded, opened Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror, and they really started coming on their own as a park. I was like, that would be a fun place to set it because they still had the backlot tour. And so it became something where what I started doing was kind of like writing down, you know, well, you know, what would be good over here? And then I'd start looking up what was open at that point. And I'd be like, oh, this doesn't fit here. You know, this, like, the Pocahontas live stage show doesn't work in this scene, but I'm going to write it down because I'd love to include the Pocahontas stage show because I remember, you know, that show. And so it's a lot of fun if you're a Disney fan to read it, just because it's a real neat travelogue through Disney parks at that time period. There's, you know, talk of construction of Rock and Roller Coaster and the All-Star Movies Resort, and there's a lot of fun to it, and I just had such a blast writing it, and I think people will enjoy it.
Very awesome. And where can people find the book?
So if you want to get any of my books, you can go to sesameplacebooks.com. I want to make sure it's not Sesame Place Book.
Sesame Book Place.
It's got to be Sesame Place Book.
Sesame Place Court Books.
Sesameplacebook.com is not it. So it's, well, go to guyhutchinson.com. Wait, hold on. Let me check here.
Is that Sesame Place book?
Is that working?
Sesame Guy.
It's going to place. Swear.
Oh, okay, then that goes to the right thing. Okay, I just wanted to make sure I was on the, that I wasn't, I didn't want to send you to website to book Sesame Place trips. but so or if you go there,
you book a Sesame Place trip and spend half the day at a, going for a timeshare.
If you go there, I will, I'll come, we'll hang out. But yeah, the, you can go there. You can go to guyhutchinson.com. You can go to amazon.com. You can buy it on Kindle there. If you buy it directly from me, I'll sign it and send it to you and I'll send you a pin, you know, to go with it. But if you want just Kindle, it's cheaper on Kindle, of course, and you can get it and I'll sign your Kindle if I ever see you in person.
Which, speaking of that, I'm kind of excited now for May.
I'm very excited. May 31st, GalaxyCon Richmond. It's the first GalaxyCon convention, and it's the first one in Richmond, obviously. I'll be doing that one. I'll also do one in Minneapolis, Minnesota, towards the end of the year. But nice. I'm excited about Richmond because you're going to be there.
I already have booked my hotel. I'm going to come down for Friday and Saturday. And we shall drink like kings, I believe.
This is you're going to have so much fun. I'll tell you, this is I'm going to give you my con schedule. This may be interesting to people. Yes. So this is what happens at a con. So like I arrive there on you arrive like Thursday.
So your limo pulls up. Okay. Yeah.
Your Learjet lands.
Right.
No, it's quite the opposite. They make sure that you're there the day before, though, if you're a guest at the con. They really want you there. And the more important you are, the less important it is that you're there a day before. So, like, if you're William Shatner, you can show up 10 minutes before. They'll be nervous about it, but they'll deal with it. Me, they'll be like, hey, can we get you to come here a week before? We'll just throw you in a hotel. It does, you know, so... So for me, it's like I check in, I get there like, you know, the day before, usually the night before. Like Thursday night. Depends on the city. Like Richmond, I've been to before. But like if I like when I went to Kentucky, I got there early. So I go to the Kentucky Derby Museum and stuff. But they'll get me in there the day before. And it's literally like I check in. They're like, oh, thank God you're here. Now we don't have to worry about you. They just cross it off because they're like, well, now we know you'll arrive. Now we can focus on the people that aren't here yet. And so so Thursday is always a fun night. You know, you hang out and, you know, go to a restaurant or whatever. And then Friday, usually the con starts a little later. So Friday's fun. You can usually maybe go to lunch, you know, definitely go to breakfast. Then I do a bunch of panels. Sometimes they're even back to back. And then I do signings at the table. But I've got some great panels for Richmond. I'm doing one about it's Guy Hutchinson talks about talking dog movies. No, Guy Hutchinson, talking dog movies and talking dog movies. Because some of the dog movies I talk about, the dogs talk, but some they do not. And so
Please tell me you're going to talk about Karate Dog.
Oh, yeah. Karate Dog's in there.
Yes.
Dude, Where's My Dog is in there.
What is that?
Oh, my God. I never heard of that one.
Bone Alone, the Home Alone ripoff with a dog is in there. Yes, I will show Benji flying an airplane in Benji Zaks and the Alien Prince. I've got quite an assortment of talking dog movies and dog that don't talk movies. But yes, Karate Dog, of course, the Chevy Chase, Pat Morita masterpiece will be in there.
And John Boyd is a bad guy.
That's right. I got a bunch of panels about I do a lot of panels about like weird offbeat theme parks. And there are two that I'm covering, actually three from the Virginia area. I'm doing from the Richmond area, Buckrow Beach, which was only open in the early part of the 1900s. So it was open for like 15 years, like from I think like 1895 to like 1915, maybe. I'm going to talk about that place as well as other parks because there's been so many. I mean, like, John, did you ever know about the WWE ride in Niagara Falls?
I feel like I did.
WWE, during the height of the Attitude Era, they had a like a drop ride, a themed drop ride called the Pile Driver. And they had like a WWE gift shop below it. And you could go there, buy your ticket and go on the WWE ride. And so like I've found lots of places like this that have come and gone over the years. A lot of people have been talking about the last Flintstones amusement park that's closing, which really was more of a roadside attraction. But I talk about those, the weird Jetsons potato bar in Mexico. Just a lot of crazy things. So I talk about all that stuff. I'm also talking about not Pacific Ocean Park, that was in California, Ocean View Park, which was out there in Richmond. So a lot of crazy places like that, a lot of Disney things. I'll be doing my weird VHS panel and doing one on the history of chickens in pop culture. And I'm going to do, I believe I'm going to do, by popular demand, I think I'm going to do my Colonel Sanders panel, because it went over so well in Kentucky. And I know a few people that are going to this con that were at the one in Kentucky are like, I hope you're doing that again. And I said, I feel like it's a Kentucky thing, but no, I think maybe it's got to be
a nationwide chain. I think you can pull it off.
Forget about that. I believe this is one of the things I talk about it, that of living of Americans that really existed, of actual living Americans, people that lived at one point in time, I believe that Colonel Sanders is the third most seen image of a living American in the United States over time, because I believe the other two are Abe Lincoln and George Washington, because we see them on money all the time.
Huh.
And I think that Colonel Sanders, I can tell you, I don't eat at KFC that often.
Yeah, but his face is plastered all over the bucket.
Right on the outside. Yeah. And so I drive by a Colonel Sanders at least once a day, I feel like. And so I feel like most people do. Most people see his face on television or driving by it. And he's so associated with it. Like, one of the things that I talk about in the panel is, I'm like, you know, does anybody know who founded Burger King? And it's like, no one knows. And I'll put the people up and I tell, you know, like the history of Burger King. Does anybody know where Burger King was founded? And we have a buddy, a mutual friend, John Edler, who's been on the show.
Yeah.
And John Edler is from Jacksonville, Florida.
I was like,
does anybody know, you know, where it was founded? And he was like, Miami. And I was like, incorrect. It was founded in Jacksonville, Florida. Their headquarters is in Miami. They franchised, starting the first one he actually knew where it was. He's like, oh, it's a sandwich shop. I've been there. I didn't even know that that was Burger King. And then he went back and there's like a little plaque on the wall. And by plaque, I mean a Xerox or printer paper thing that they stuck in a little, you know, plastic shield and stuck on the wall. But it was like the Insta Burger King or whatever it was called at that point. But my point about that is, you don't know who created any of these. You know, it's like the guy who created Popeyes was Al, I think his name was Al Copeland. He's a fascinating character, but people don't know him. But everybody knows Colonel Sanders, and right, everybody knows where KFC was founded. Like, it's not, there's no question. Everybody's like, well, of course it was Kentucky. You know, it's Kentucky Fried Chicken. And so I feel like he is so, so interesting because of that. So I'll probably talk about that.
The problem I have with all of that is now I can't stop seeing the Reba.
Colonel
Sanders.
So here's my thing. So Matt, this is the good thing. So I'll be doing these panels, right? So I do these throughout the day. So like, when you have nothing else to do, or when you've spent all your money on the floor, like you've gone up and given William Shatner $50, you can, and you're like, oh,
I don't do autographs. I don't believe in them.
50 is probably low. He's probably more than 50.
He's probably like 300 or 400. Like
10 times the amount.
That's so crazy. That is so absurd to me. Anyway, so after you go see whoever the celebrities are and you walk around the floor, you see all that.
We'll be looking for back issues of comics. I'll say it right there. Yeah.
And so you're like, oh, you know what? I'm tired. I want to sit down. You could be like, well, I'll see what the hell Guy's talking about. You pop into whatever room I'm in and listen to me talk about Benji flying an airplane for a while, find out what Dude, Where's My Dog was, and find out about the horror movie about a racist dog, which is called White Dog, and literally the dog is racist. That's part of the plot.
Jesus.
So I'll be talking about all those. And so then I do a whole lot of panels, but around dinner time, there's usually at least one of the two nights, Friday or Saturday, me and Dana get a three-hour break. Because if you have less than 3 hours, it's hard to drive to any restaurant. You know, like, sure. even with 3 hours, it's a lot less than you think, because it takes a long time to, like, after the panel, to gather everything up. You know, maybe some people want a picture or whatever, and then you got to make your way out of the building, which takes a long time, get yourself to you know, the hotel to drop your stuff off or whatever, you know, get to the restaurant, et cetera, et cetera. But the point is, we go out, we get something to eat, and then we got to come back because usually we have a panel that goes from like 10 to 2, and you're going to love that because that is the crazy.
10 to 2 a.m.?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Wow.
So, yeah, usually there's a panel late at night where we just talk crazy Disney things. And just
and is that the one where we all bring bottles of booze?
Most people do. It depends on the convention center. Kentucky was real tough on that. But a lot of them, like Miami, they're like, hey, whatever, man. You do what you want. You do you. That's you, know, you just have bottles of booze open on stage. Booze, you know.
Yeah. Richmond's actually a pretty big, you know, so right around that area, I know it. They've got a bunch of, it's a big foodie and brewery town. I know you guys aren't craft beer guys, right?
Right. So well, I will drink craft beer. Dana, I don't think will drink it at all, but I'll drink whatever beer.
He's a
I just don't care.
Guy.
So what? Okay. So that's the point. You know, unless the if I'm at a place and I look at the ABV on the side and I'm like, ah, they got something called, you know, Horned Hop Devil that's got 8.7% ABV. Well, I think I'll get that one. That sounds like the most delicious one.
What, a 12% stout? Yeah, I'll take two of those.
Yeah. Because, you know, I mean, if you're, you know, you don't want to have four beers, you can have two beers.
It's, exactly. But so, there's also some good distilleries down there. I believe in that area there's at least a couple really good restaurants, like within walking distance from the hotel, which is two blocks from the convention center.
Well, we'll have to check out some stuff. But the what they do is, like Kentucky, like they have a rule that you can have booze on stage, but you have to purchase it from the venue. We got in trouble because we had booze on stage. We did not purchase from the venue. There are other areas where they won't let you drink on stage. I know Dragon Con, like you can drink on the floor, but it can't be out of a beer bottle. At least when
we always have flasks. Like I've got three flasks I always have with me.
Yeah. So they're like stopping us for drinking, like, you know, Miller Lite out of the bottle. And then meanwhile, there's people walking by like funneling some kind of weird orange beverage.
Random people giving me Jello shots they made in the hotel the night before.
Yeah.
And yes, I ate them.
So, but so, you know, and then, you know, we repeat that on Saturday, repeat it on Sunday, and then go home. That's the, and so it's a lot of fun.
I'll stay there. Are there any panels Friday evening?
I am sure that I have a panel Friday and Saturday evening.
Okay. Cause I get there Friday and I have to leave Sunday morning. So,
You'll have a blast. But my point about that is, so in between my panels, I go to my table and whatever. But if you, when you, you can hang out as much or as little as you want to, you know, you go do stuff. But it's so easy because it's like, well, I can look at the thing. He's right. I know exactly where he is.
It's not going to be as crowded as like Dragon Con, right?
It's nothing like that. No, but I mean, I don't know how it's going to be because it's their first one there. Maybe it'll be a bonkers success, but it's not that big, you know, but it is very big. They do like, you know, usually they have three floors and, you know, there's, you know, one area with all the panel rooms and then there's wrestling in the other area. And,
Oh, that's right. Lita Bates is going to be there.
Yeah, they're going to wrestle.
And Lita.
Fantasy and Lita will Amy Dumas will be there, who my son punched in the mouth once.
Wait, what?
When she was doing an autograph thing, my son was a baby, and we went to go take a picture with her, and I just hear her go oof, and I look, and my little baby kid just had hauled off and just socked her. So he might be at this convention. So if my son is there, I'll see if I can get that picture printed out and get her to sign it. But I don't have to see.
I'm looking forward to this, man.
Pay $25. I can do that. That's a goal I can accomplish.
Why not?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be a fun con.
It sounds like it's going to be a very fun con. I hope you kids have fun.
You should come.
Why don't you come down, John?
I had a wedding. I had a honeymoon, and I got a plan for WrestleMania.
I already have a hotel room. If you want to split it, you can crash there.
Oh. Well, I appreciate it, but I still got to figure out how to travel down there. And that,
I mean,
still,
it's a king size bed, which is mine, so you can have the floor, but still, you know.
I'm not a floor guy.
No,
John, you're going to WrestleMania?
Yes, sir.
I'm excited about WrestleMania. It's going to be my kid's first WrestleMania.
Oh, nice.
He'll be eight seeing it. I was 18 the first time I got to go to WrestleMania, which I thought was good. I thought that was young, but he beats me by a decade.
Well, I think you guys will both appreciate this one. So my buddy has been dragging me out to indie shows, like indie wrestling shows locally.
Yeah.
And we're going out. We're going to one tomorrow in a local fire hall.
Oh yeah.
I'm kind of stoked. I went to one right before I got injured. Got to see Jordan Grace and Mia Yim. I don't know if you know those two.
I know Mia Yim because isn't she friends with Leva?
Yeah, and she just got picked up for either NXT or WWE. I think NXT. Oh, wow.
Very cool.
So yeah, so like getting to see them fight was awesome. And so we're going tomorrow. I don't know who we're going to see.
Oh, yeah.
We're probably going to drink a lot of beer at the fire hall.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's going to be a good night.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, no, that is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm also going to the Supercard, Ring of Honor and New Japan at the Garden.
Yeah, I've never did the indie wrestling thing before the last year. My buddies dragged me to a few shows. It's fun.
Yeah, it's great.
It really is. And these guys are really trying, too. You can tell that, you know, they know they're not there yet, and they know this is their ticket, and they're
I feel like they have more liberty than, you know, when they go in WWE. They're not stifled.
Oh, sure, sure. But
they have something to prove at that point, too.
I think most of them would rather be stifled. But, yeah, no, I mean, that's the best. I think I love independent wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Cannot wait. So, you know, let's I'll leave it as let's see if I have, you know, the funds to come down to Virginia.
Like I said,
GalaxyCon should come to New York or New Jersey.
I am hoping maybe next year. I do not have a con anywhere near New York or New Jersey yet this year, and I don't think I'm going to get one. I think this is this is the closest. Well, we did this weird convention in Philadelphia, but it was like a one-day comic day thing. It was very strange. We did a weird panel. We did a panel in the middle of the floor because they like their panel area that was just like this stage, but there were like comic vendors right all around it.
Wow.
And like most people would go down and do like very, you know, they did like straightforward panels, but then me and Dana go out there and just say really jerky things to each other and we had this moderator and she really wanted to moderate and ask questions. And not that we were rude about it, but we just were not, we just didn't do that. So like we were just having a weird, just a fun, just telling jokes or whatever. Told a lot of bad old jokes.
Yeah. God, that remembers the last panel I saw Dana at Dragon Con like 3 years ago. For some reason, it was a 12 o'clock panel. They were all drinking up there. And there was like a dad and three kids in the row next to me that kind of got up and left. And as soon as they walked out, Dana's like, well, I wanted to see how quick I could scare them out of here. And I don't remember what he said that was so offensive, but they left pretty quick.
Well, we do a lot of panels. Like a lot of the ones I do, he does with me, and we do definitely the night show he does. But like a lot of times, we'll do like a panel just about like the Buzz Lightyear attraction or whatever, we kind of play it differently when there's kids in the audience, but sometimes it'll be like, oh, you know, I have this story, but you know, to ask me later, and the dad will be like, or the mom will say, oh, they've heard it. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't want to be the one saying it. I don't care. I don't care if they've heard it all. I don't want to contribute.
They don't need to hear it from me.
Yeah. I don't want to be the one saying it.
Yeah.
But, that is funny.
Okay.
Well, anyway, yeah, so people, if you want to come see me, you can come see me at GalaxyCon. And if you want to buy any of my books, just go on the internet there. Just search.
Of course, we'll have them in the show notes.
Yeah, go ahead. Put a picture of me in the show notes, because you know what's great about your website is if you put a picture of me, I notice it comes up really high in my search results. So find like the dumbest picture of me you can find.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
And then name the file. You got to name the file Guy Hutchinson, I think. You know, like Guy Hutchinson, JPG. And then you have to put underneath it Guy Hutchinson. Then it knows to find me, you know, then Google. But I noticed that a bunch, like when you search, like a bunch of pictures from your website show up. And
you have a wiki entry.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's an accomplished author.
Holy crap.
I got a couple wikis. Hold on. I got a...
You're 4 years older than I am. Wow.
Oh, I'm so glad to know that. I have
felt old. Now I don't.
We'll see. Yeah, that's one of the things about having a Wikipedia page. They put you don't get to say what's on there. I have a Muppet Wiki and I have a Disney Wiki. Oh, nice. Yeah, but the fact that I'm on a Muppet Wiki probably would be the thing that would make me the most excited as a
kid. Achievement.
Yeah, like that would be the most important thing. Like, I wouldn't know what a wiki was, but I'd be like, oh. A Muppet Wiki about me?
Oh. Well, Guy, thank you so much for coming in to join us on this newest episode. Anything else you want to plug?
Oh, that's it. I barely want to plug the stuff I plug. I don't want to have to go to the post office tomorrow. Don't buy any books.
No more podcasts.
No more.
Okay.
Yeah, wait, actually, that was one thing real quick.
What?
Drunk on Disney, are there ever going to be more episodes?
You want to hear one? I'll play one for you right now.
Not right now. But
yeah, hold on. Here, I'll give you guys a sneak preview of one. No, we don't have time. We have time. We're still like 4 minutes ahead of when we were going to end, right?
I got to be up at 5 a.m. banging and clanging, man.
As do I.
All right. Yeah. No, sorry. I'm just saying.
But there are some in a can somewhere.
Yeah, like here's just like some of one. Here's.
So this is the original Star Tours. Did you like the original Star Tours
with the guy,
Pee Wee Herman?
The guy ducking and the thing when they almost hit the end?
Yeah, see, there we are talking about Star Tours. So the episodes exist. I just haven't posted them. So I apologize for not posting them, but I do have episodes. I will post them eventually. I've been busy with any of them
hosted by Patty Hawkins?
That's a good question. Because, no, we did have one episode but I think we already posted that.
That was like the last one I listened to.
Where we were talking about Hanna-Barbera. Yeah.
Yes.
I'll have to tell you when I would tell it on here and I'd tell it in front of Patty. Patty's one of my dear friends, but I have a crazy story about ruining one of his panels. So you're hanging out with me late at night, when you've had a lot of bourbon, you ask me to tell you that story and you'll love it.
All right. We'll do it. Right?
And that goes for everybody in the listening audience as well.
Yes, please do.
Get him drunk and ask him that.
Matt, you got anything to plug this week?
Maybe. I have nothing to plug.
You know, you should plug Jason's stuff.
Jason, you know, he hasn't done any recent WAG podcast stuff.
But he's got that website.
What's his website?
Isn't it Pollard VO or something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Pollard VoiceOver. PollardVO.com, I believe.
Okay.
Let me double-check that quick.
While you're double-checking... You can visit us on the web at acpnet.net for all your podcasting needs and wants, really. We have social networks all over the place, facebook.com/group/acpnet, twitter.com/acpnpodcasts. You can tweet us. We got Instagrams. We got a Reddit that we don't use. I don't know why.
I'm an admin of it, though.
What? Oh, yeah, you are an admin.
I haven't done anything with it. But
I haven't done anything with it either.
You should do something with it.
I don't know. Like us on your podcast player of choice. You know, I know it's not always iTunes anymore. We are on Spotify. We are on, I was going to say iHeart, but I don't think that kicked in. Nor did, what's the other one that just started doing podcasts? Pandora started doing podcasts. I don't think we're on that yet either. But TuneIn, Stitcher, and all those fun stuff. Give us some stars. Give us some love. And
say hello.
Yeah, and patreon.com/ACPN if you feel like throwing us like a dollar for like all of our archive stuff. And that's pretty much it from us. We will be back at a later time with a new episode of Adventure Club Podcast. Until then.
Thanks for taking the time to listen, folks.
Yes, thanks for stopping by. Good night.
Good night.
This is Sean
and Chris
From the Childhood Remastered podcast, where we look back on the TV shows and movies from our youth to see if they're still worth a damn.
Or not.
Or not, which is far too often the case.
You can listen to new episodes every Thursday, where we overanalyze some of our favorites.
And not so favorites.
And hopefully make you think.
And laugh.
We'll revisit the best and worst of Saturday morning cartoons.
Nickelodeon and Disney.
A couple of movies our parents probably shouldn't have let us watch.
Yeah, there were definitely a few of those.
And you can check us out at childhoodremastered.com.
And remember, we're ready to believe you.
Wait, what? Isn't that Ghostbusters?
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Back to the Future? What are you doing?
I don't know how to end this.
ChildhoodRemastered.com.
Hi, I'm Angry Man.
And I'm Gidget Von LaRue, and we have an 80s movie podcast called the Retro Cinema Podcast.
We talk and give trivia, well, just a little bit of trivia, on 80s movies that we both watched back in the 80s.
We cover all genres, including comedy, horror, drama, fantasy, musical, animation, action, and even film noir.
Yeah, we cover them all. So you can find us at theretrocinema.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn.
Klopak, is that Slavic?
No!
give us a listen.